Sportscast presents Hoops Talk, hosted by Alabama basketball legend Irwin Dudley and Sportscast contributor Ryan Krista. All basketball, from college basketball to the NBA. Listen to Sportscast Hoops Talk on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. Sportscast Hoops Talk. Rhythm, debate, layup, and dunk. Sports Talk Hoops Talk.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the inaugural episode of Hoops Talk. This is February 20th, 2022. I am your host, Ryan Krista, and I am here with SEC basketball Alabama player Irwin Dudley. Welcome, everybody, to this Hoops Hype, Hoops Talk show. And we remember to follow us on the Sportscast on all our social media venues, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, everything you can think of. We are on top of it. Tonight, we are talking all things basketball, and we will start by welcoming our contributor, Mr. Irwin Dudley. Welcome to Hoops Talk, Irwin.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. It's good to be here. I'm excited for our first episode. We're going to be talking, like you said, we're going to be talking nothing but basketball. I'm excited, so let's get it on.
Let's get it. You know, this is a big weekend here in the NBA. Kind of take a breath here. It's All-Star weekend. You know, we've played since, you know, November, and this is a good week, you know, to showcase the league's talent, you know, and, you know, everybody catches their breath. What's your takeaway of the NBA season so far, Irwin?
I mean, I think for me, it's a surprise. You know, I'm a LeBron fan, so I kind of follow the Lakers a little bit harder than a lot of other teams, and so with us not playing as well, with us being in the eighth, ninth seed right now, you know, I'm kind of hurt because I thought we would, you know, with us acquiring Carmelo and then adding Westbrook hadn't been playing his best, but you know, Westbrook, he's still a walking triple double when, you know, it ain't on any given night. Yeah. And so LeBron has still been playing well. He's been doing what he's supposed to do, but we just hadn't had a lot of help. AD has been in and out of the lineup. LeBron was hurt too for a period of time as well. But AD has been the main one that's been in and out of the lineup. So we hadn't really developed any type of chemistry. So that's been hard with us. But you know, as far as any surprises, I think that Chicago has been the biggest surprise, I think, in the NBA. You know, with Chicago coming in, they're number two in the East, right behind Miami. So, I mean, they're actually tied with Miami. So, you know, they've been playing really good basketball. I don't think anybody predicted that they'll be playing as well. You know, I think they're kind of like the New York Knicks of last year, but I think they're a little better all-around team than the Knicks was.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, let's go back and talk about the Western Conference and the Lakers, and you talked about the surprise that they're not where everybody thought they would be. Do you put a lot of that on the Russell Westbrook signing and, you know, trade, you know, or what are the other key, you know, elements to their, you know, lack of success this year?
I mean, but you hear the talk, and you know, people say, you know, they had a chance to get Buddy Hield, and I, you know, if it had been me, if I was calling the shots, I would have taken Buddy Hield. I mean, LeBron is a player that, you know, he likes to get downhill, but he needs guys around him that can shoot the basketball, and so it's you know, it's quite obvious, you know, throughout his whole entire career that, you know, people around him have to shoot the basketball really well. There's no secret to that. And so with that being said, you know, Westbrook has been playing okay, but he's been almost a turnover waiting to happen. He's been turning the ball over a lot, and he's been real inconsistent. I think that a lot of the, you know, the noise that, you know, people, you know, has been getting into his head. But I would have taken Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield's, you know, he's a definitely a proven scorer. He can shoot the basketball, and he can do a lot of other things. But you know, that didn't happen, and I think that's the reason why.
Yeah, to me, you know, when I'm watching the Lakers, you know, it seems like Russell Westbrook is just not meshing. It seems like, you know, round peg into square hole kind of, you know, his games don't really fill in, you know, with AD and LeBron's. And the problem is when you get a you know, make a move like that and you have others, you know, LeBron and AD's contract, it really limits what you can do as a roster, you know, yep. with the salary cap and all that. And I know last Thursday there was a talk, you know, like a trade, you know, but, you know, one thing that was on the table and, you know, Rob Pelinka didn't pull the trigger, you know, was a trade for, you know, John Wall. Yes, they would have had to given up, you know, future first round pick, probably, you know, in the late, you know, 2025 and beyond, you know, but to me, it might be worth a chance. Cause again, you know, LeBron James, you only have so much miles left on, you know, and those lanes,
I understand that I hear, but if you take Westbrook, and then you got John Wall. I mean, John Wall hadn't played any really all season. When he was in Washington, when he tore his Achilles, I think it was. And so with him tearing his Achilles, you know, he really hadn't bounced back from that. He hadn't played any. So, I mean, you can gamble on that, but I mean, if I'm a GM, I wouldn't have gambled on it. I mean, I think that, you know, the best situation to keep Westbrook, and hopefully, you know, as the next half of the season goes, that they're able to get him on the right page and get LeBron on the right page and get AD on the court and keep him healthy. I think that they could definitely make a push.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when it comes to something like that, you just got to get in, you know, and that's where, you know, it'd be best to avoid the play. And, you know, I think if they can get AD health, you know, hopefully his injury isn't too, you know, bad, what you suffered, you know, when the last regular season game against the Jazz. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Let's keep it in the Western Conference. You know, what are your predictions, you know, or what's your reaction, you know, to top of the West, you know, the Phoenix and, Golden State, what are your observations on those teams?
I mean, if you just go back and look, you know, just from last year, you know, Phoenix, I mean, they were the team last year to beat. And so I think with, you know, Golden State, with them adding Klay back, and, you know, they've been playing really good basketball even before Klay came back. But now they're number two in the standings. And so with that being said, I mean, they're definitely a contender. I mean, especially with all the you know, the experience and the guys that they have on their roster that's been able to win win championships there. So and they have a really good group. I mean, you got Jordan Poole has been playing really well. Wiggins, first time All-Star. So, I mean, you know, he was the number one pick when he came out. And so, you know, he really didn't pan out to be what everybody expected him to be in Minnesota. But he's come to Golden State and he's kind of resurrected his career. And he's been playing really, really well for them. If you look at the number three, the third stand in Memphis, though, Memphis is like reading right behind them. Absolutely. Memphis, you know, I think Memphis can also be considered a surprise, because I don't think anybody thought that they would be in the position they're in, you know, being number three. And, you know, everybody, I think a lot of people had, you know, Utah and Denver, you know, kind of had those teams, you know, before Memphis. But Memphis has come and they've played some really good ball. If you listen to a lot of people, they talk about how Ja Morant is possibly, he's a MVP candidate. He really is. I mean, he's been playing really, really well. I mean, he got his team to number three in the Western standings. So, I mean, he's definitely an MVP candidate. But, again, going back to Phoenix, you cannot count them out. I mean, I know Chris Paul, he's hurt with the injury. He's out with the thumb injury they hadn't said how many weeks or whatever. He'll be out. But he still has, you know, he's still a valuable piece to the team. And so with him being out, Cameron Payne, I don't know if he's back now, but Cameron Payne, he played really well last year, and he's been playing well this year also. So he has to step up and play. But again, they have Bridges, he's been playing well. Booker's been playing lights out. So they have a roster that can kind of still play and be able to hold things over until Chris Paul comes back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think what makes the Suns great, you know, with Booker and Paul, you know, being the ultimate closers, you know, and that that four, you know, if you look at clutch ratings in the fourth quarter, you know, they're skyrocketing over teams, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, most NBA games, you know, a lot of them do come down to the, you know, the final minutes, you know, those teams that can execute, you know. You got Chris Paul on the court, and I think Monty Williams is a very good coach, you know. Yeah. And so I definitely, you know, think that helps them, you know, and get to where they need to get to. And Memphis is just a fun team to watch, you know.
Yeah.
Fastest team in the NBA. They get up and down, you know, with a guy like a motor like John Morant. It's awesome to, you know, watch them play, you know, and with shooters like, you know, Desmond Bane, you know, and Jaren Jackson's a great, you know, great versatile player. You know, I'll go back, you know, keeping the West just for a little bit longer, you know. Team I follow closely, Dallas, you know, I'm excited, you know, because Luka, I mean, this last week has been on fire, you know. He had a 50-point game, you know, and two 40-plus point games, you know. It seems like, you know, that burden of getting, you know, KP off the team, but it seems like it's just loosened things up, you know, and they got, you know, a path of where they're going, you know. So, and I don't think there was any – there's always been talk about, you know, dislike. I don't think there was much dislike personally between – I don't think they were best friends. But I think, you know, now he knows this is – Luka knows this is his team, you know. And I think, you know, they start off, you know, basically average, you know, and then everybody in the NBA struggled with COVID, you know, over Christmas, you know, and that was kind of the turning point of, you know, of that team. You know, they're 18 and 20. And since then they've really taken, you know, and what's really been the difference for them, you know, Jason Kidd has really emphasized, you know, team defense. You know, I don't think they have a lot of great individual defenders on the team. Luka's not, you know, exceptional, you know, Jalen Brunson isn't great. And really, they don't have a rim protector, but, you know, they work hard together, you know. It's really, you know, something Rick Carlisle wasn't, you know, big on was a team defensive concept, you know. And they just hit open shots, you know. So I'm excited. I'm kind of hoping, though, we talk positive about the Grizzlies. As a Mavericks fan, I'm kind of hoping, you know, we're matched up with them, because I don't want to go against, you know, the Suns or the Warriors in the first round or anything like that. I feel like, you know, you go against, you know, I know the Grizzlies were in the playoffs last year, but I feel like we got a good chance. I think that's the next step, you know, for either one of those two teams is just make it to the next round, you know, kind of know your place, you know. But, you know, it's been really a fun, you know, couple weeks being, you know, jumping on the Mavs bandwagon here.
So I know I'll give you a little feedback on the Dallas Mavericks from my perspective. I mean, I like Dallas. I think that, like you said, I think that Luka came, he started off, so I think he was injured, and then I think COVID protocol, and then he came in, he was definitely overweight. And so he came back, I guess, right after Christmas, and he, you know, he's been playing well. I mean, he's dropped some weight, and he's been playing well. You know, I think with them getting rid of, you know, KP, I think it was a good move for them. Because Chris Porzingis, I mean, he was hurt. He had been hurt some, and I don't really think that they meshed that good as well. And so for them, they had to get rid of somebody. And he, you know, he was the person that they had to get rid of, because they just signed Luka to a max deal, so over the summer. So they definitely weren't letting him go. I mean, he's the future of that franchise. You know, Brunson, and they're gonna have to sign him eventually, because he's been playing really well. When Luka was out, he basically carried the team. You know, he's been playing really well. So I don't think they'll go far in the West, but I think they can win some games, but I don't think they'll go real far, you know, once the playoffs start. I just don't see it. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think that they're physical enough as a team. I think that they can score. I think they'll win some games, but as far as them winning the title, I don't see it at all.
Yeah, you know, I agree. Yeah, we're definitely not title contenders for sure. That, but yes, I do like the future of the team. Jalen Brunson is an unrestricted free agent, so yeah, it is a must do this offseason. You know, they kind of rolled the dice, you know, when, you know, we're talking big moves, you know. Jalen Brunson was a name that popped up because there's uncertainty if they're going to be able to re-sign him, and he's playing, you know, stellar basketball, you know.
Yeah.
Moving on, you know, we had a question about, you know, MVP, midseason MVP, and we'll talk, you know, one more team here in the West, and that's the Denver Nuggets, you know, who have been playing well. I'm a big Jokic guy. Yeah, I think he should, you know, I don't know. We'll transition to the East, and we'll talk about the other big man down there in Philadelphia as a maybe possible MVP candidate. But, you know, with the Nuggets, you know, they kind of been floundering around in the middle of the West here. But, you know, eventually I feel like they're going to get Jamal Murray back here. You know, he's practicing, and that might be the best, you know, in-season acquisition you can make, you know, an all-star point guard of the capabilities of Jamal Murray. I know he's been out for a while, so, you know, I don't know what to expect when he comes back. But it's going to be unique because Jokic is really taking over as the point forward here. You know, how they're going to, you know, playing a different role than he did when Murray was on the court with him. So it's going to be interesting to see how they put that together, you know, Mike Malone and his staff, you know, when he comes back here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I think, you know, Jamal Murray, he went down with ACL injury last year. And so, you know, they've been working him back in slowly. For sure that, you know, he's a key acquisition, you know, him coming back, being healthy. And it's going to take some time for him to kind of get his rhythm back as well. But I think that once he does get his rhythm back, of course, it is going to help the team. I mean, Jamal Murray, before he got injured, he was playing really well for the team. And, you know, Jokic, you know, he's still been putting up really good numbers. You know, you don't hear a lot of talk about them, you know, over, you know, over the course of the season, just because, you know, they're winning, but they're not doing anything to stand out or be at the top of, you know, top of the Western Conference. But you can't count them out because, again, like you said, Jokic was MVP, and, you know, you see, like I said, you bring Jamal Murray back, and then you have some other key pieces that they can, that they have, that they can, that they can add and put on the floor with them. And so I think that they can definitely make a, they can definitely make a push, you know, this next half of the season.
Yeah, definitely. So we're, you know, we have another, you know, can't, I'm going to put my vote in, you know, a question, Missy's MVP, Jokic. We'll go out to the East, and then maybe Edwin is more of a Joel Embiid fan. What do you think about what's happening in the East? We'll start with the Sixers, with Joel Embiid and the acquisition of James Harden.
I mean, I like the I mean, they got him. I mean, he was a headache in New Jersey, and Simmons, you know, they wanted to get rid of him, you know, the whole, you know, about the whole deal with him and over in Philly. So they, you know, they, it was a good trade. But I think that I think they gave up a lot, you know, to get Harden, but hey, you know, that's what they wanted. He's definitely a scorer. My thing is, and I think what a lot of people think will be with Harden, you know, once the playoffs start, like what Harden's going to show up when the playoffs start. He started off slow this year. I mean, he kind of picked it up. You know, the NBA has changed the rules of, you know, how they call all the different fouls and stuff. So it took some time for him to get adjusted to it. But he adjusted well. But again, you know, he wanted to get out of New Jersey, so he went to Philly. And Embiid, man, he's been playing. Whew, he's definitely right now the way he's playing, the most dominant big man in the league. He's definitely the MVP favorite. Like, I don't see anybody doing what he's doing. I mean, if you look at Giannis, I mean, he's playing well too. But you know, we've seen Giannis win MVP. But I think a lot of people enjoy, it's eluded him, you know, a few years. So he's really, really been playing well. I mean, the numbers that he's putting up, like, by far, my midseason MVP.
Absolutely. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see how him and James put it together here. You know, we'll, you know, close out here at the East. You know, who are, you know, what have you seen in the East, and what do you expect to see in it, you know, your contenders in the East going forward?
I think that, of course, I think Milwaukee, I think they're going to make a run. I mean, they're just Milwaukee. Miami, you know, they're leading the standings. And so I think they're going to be well. Chicago, I'm still kind of on the fence with them, just because they're a newbie. They're a new team that realized or just gained some success. So I don't know how far, you know, with the inexperience they have, I don't know how far they will go with them. But I think that I think that Boston has been playing really bad. Like, you know, like for them, you know, they've struggled to get wins and they haven't been playing that well. So I'm looking, I think Miami, they're definitely, I think that they're going to be a definite contender. I think that I'm not going to count Milwaukee out as well. Milwaukee, you know, they're fifth right now, but you know, I think they still will be able to make some moves once, you know, once the playoffs get ready to start. If they have some experience, the one thing I don't like, they gave away PJ Tucker. I think PJ Tucker was a key addition to them last year, and them letting him go, I mean, he was an X factor. You know, he hard and play defense on the best player they had. I mean, he did a lot of things for them, and you know, for them to let him go, I thought they would definitely re-sign him, but that didn't happen. So, but I still think they have a good team. I just don't think that they have enough to win the East again this year, or even win the title.
We just had somebody chime in, you know, with the Raptors. You know, I they may not be a title contender this year, but you know, they're solid team, you know, and they just love these guys. They all look the same, you know. We'll talk college basketball in a minute. They're kind of like the Florida State of college basketball because all their players, you know, are 6'7", you know, lanky, you know, can go mm-hmm. guard multiple positions, you know, versatile. You know, and mm-hmm. then you got the ringleader, you know, Fred VanVleet, you know, who's kind of coming in his own. You know, I think he was, you know, once Kyle Lowry left, you know, it was his time, you know, waiting in the wings. You know, for so many years, it was Lowry and DeRozan, you know, and then mm-hmm. they made the trade, get Kawhi, win the championship, you know. But, you know, now we got the new Raptors, you know, with VanVleet and Pascal Siakam and, you know, OG mm-hmm. and Obi. Good team, you know, but yes, probably not a title contender right now, but a fun watch for sure. Any closing, you know, thoughts on, you know, what NBA so far this year?
No, I mean, I'm just looking forward to you know, to see teams come out and how they, you know, after the All-Star, you know, everybody's had some time off, and you know, you'll kind of see how they'll separate, you know, from the pack. I think I'm just hoping my Lakers, my LeBron James team, I'm just hoping that they get healthy. Like I said, I'm a huge LeBron fan, and so I just hope that they get healthy and get everybody on the same page so they can really, really make a title push.
We have one question. Did you get a chance to look at all the All 75 team?
Yeah, I did see some of it. I did.
Who does the name you saw that you didn't see on the list that you thought deserved to be?
T-Mac.
Oh, that's a good one. I thought a name on the list I didn't think should have been on was a player, you know, a French player. You know, if you got Tracy McGrady out, Reggie Miller's on. I think Reggie Miller is a one-dimensional player, great shooter, but I don't know if I put him in the top 75 players.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, I think – and then Clay, right? I think he didn't.
Yeah,
make it.
Clay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Clay definitely should have made it. Like, it's no, like, I know he's been hurt the last couple of years, whatever. But it's no way he shouldn't have made it. He shouldn't have made it to the. He shouldn't have made his top 75. There's no way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Clay is just tough because you know he's still kind of forming his legacy here. You know, he's not that old. I mean, you know, he's still got a lot of years, you know. No. So, you know, but yes, definitely, you know, I don't know if they'll ever, you know, be the total package, you know, with shooting, you know, getting to the basket, defending, you know, Clay, you know, is a special player. Yeah, we only hope to see him back 100% here sooner than later, you know. And, you know, let's transition here in the last few minutes and talk, you know, a little bit of college basketball here. You know, I don't want to bring up a sore subject after yesterday's game, Edwin, you know, I don't know. So, you know, I might get a little background here on myself here before, you know, Edwin, you know, I'm a huge Gonzaga Bulldogs guy. But, you know, football wise, you know, I tend to be a Florida Gator, so I will cheer for the Florida Gators basketball team. And then I love, you know, being in Western New York. I love my little Western New York teams, you know, St. Bonaventure, University of Buffalo here. So, you know, I got a little ties to Alabama here with, you know, Nate Oates, you know, I watched Nate really bring up the UB program here, you know, kind of make it big time here in Western New York. And then he, you know, did what he had to do, go down to Alabama. What are your thoughts on what Nate Oates has done in the last several years for your Crimson Tide?
Man, like when he first arrived, I mean, nobody knew about him. You know, we just knew that, you know, he coached at, you know, University of Buffalo. And, you know, he came in, he, you know, he had a philosophy, he had a style, and, you know, he wanted to get his type of players in. And so, you know, first year was okay, but then last year they came in and they played really well. I mean, they made a huge turnaround. You know, they went into Kentucky and beat them last year. Unfortunately, they lost to them this past Saturday. Yeah, we understand that, but they went on the road and got some key wins. They beat Auburn at Auburn, and so, you know, they buzzed. They went and they won the SEC regular season title. Hadn't been done since I was there 19 years ago. They won the tournament title as well, and so they set some records. I mean, they went to LSU and they set a 3-point record down to LSU. But I mean, it was one of those games. It was a must see the way, you know, the way they shot the basketball. And so, you know, they went into the NCAA tournament and they made some noise, and they had a chance also to win, you know, to actually beat UCLA. A couple missed calls and a couple missed rebounds, and you know, and we was out of the dance, but we played really well last year. This year, you know, there's a lot of hype around the basketball program, you know, because of everything that happened, you know, last year. And so we came in, you know, we've had some key wins. I mean, we beat the University of Houston, we beat Gonzaga on the road, but we've come down the stretch and we lost to Georgia, we lost to Mississippi State, and so those teams on the road. So we're kind of a team that this year we've been kind of like on, I guess, like a roller coaster. We hadn't been playing as consistent as, you know, as a lot of fans or a lot of people would like. But you got to understand too, I think that a lot of people are comparing them to the team last year, and this is a totally different team that we have consisted of this year and last year. You know, last year we had, for example, we had Herb Jones. Herb was a defensive and offensive player of the year in the conference. You know, we had John Petty, we had Alex Reese, we had some guys with experience. And so, you know, and so that carried us over the hump, you know, in times when, you know, when we couldn't find a bucket or when we needed a key defensive stop. Now we have guys that, you know, some of the guys that were coming off the bench now, and so now they're into prominent roles. And so it's just a balance of the guys who just really kind of understanding, you know, their role as it relates to the team. But again, like I said, we, you know, we've had some key wins on the road, and we've had some, you know, some bad losses. But you got to also look at another thing with us. We have the number one strength of schedule in the nation. So, so right now, the way we're, you know, what we're doing, if we, you know, we keep winning, we're fine. I mean, we have the toughest schedule in the country. So, I mean, some of the games that, you know, some of the teams that we've beat, I mean, a lot of teams wouldn't even be able to beat them.
Let me ask you, now let's go to your arch rival. Do you think Jabari Smith is the best player in college basketball?
I mean, it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue not. I mean, the way he's been playing. I mean, I watched him some yesterday against Florida. He's playing really well. He can shoot the ball. He can post up. He can put the ball on the floor. He can bring the ball up the court. I mean, he's an all-around player. That's, you know, they got him as a top five pick, probably number one, number two pick in the draft this year. So there's a reason why he is number one, number two, or even a top five player pick.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a team. I think if they can play their style, you know, I think teams are going to always try to slow Auburn up, you know, and they're a different team. But when they're going up and down, you know, with those athletes, they're a tough, any SEC team really be, tough. Really, and I think, tough. You know, biggest offseason addition might have been a player like Walker Kessler, you know, who let, you know, being able to protect the paint, so all these athletes can, you know, Bruce Pearl style is, you know, aggressive man-to-man defense all over the court, you know, and then you got a player like that. You know, they, you know, I know they lost yesterday, but they're going to be a tough team, you know. Closing out, what do you think is who's going to win the SEC regular season title? Kentucky, Auburn.
Whoo, boy.
Or 10, you know, yeah.
You know what? The one thing that you have to kind of look at, you have to kind of look at the standings as you know, as it comes down to it, like who's playing who. Again, right now, I mean, you guys still got Auburn. They're still number one, and then you got UK. They're number two. They're neck and neck. I don't know how many games. I don't know who they're playing in the next couple of weeks. I don't know who UK is playing, but I watched both teams play. You know, significant amount of basketball this year, and as much as I hate to say it, I mean, I'm gonna give the edge to Auburn. I mean, they really, like I said, their team, they're from top to bottom. I mean, that starting five is good. Then they have guys that come off the bench that play really well. And, you know, they do what they need to do to win. And don't get me wrong, now, Kentucky is no pushover. But I'm going to give the edge to Auburn. They play really well. They shoot the ball well. They can defend well. And they just play good team basketball. They play motivated. They play with energy. I mean, Bruce Pearl has got them playing, you know, like a team that, like I said, I think they have the potential to go to the Final Four.
Absolutely. Who is, you know, out of the SEC, who is your top other basketball team you think can make a title run?
If you watch Arkansas, I mean, I don't think they can make a title run, but I think that they can definitely get into the tournament and they can win a few games. They're not the Arkansas from last year. They had Moses Moody and those guys.
Yeah,
but
good player.
But they do, and they did. Notay is still playing well for them. Yeah. You can't count them out. Tennessee, I think that they can actually get in and win a few games as well. But I don't think that they'll be title contenders. I don't think they'll be able to do that. But I think that they'll get into the tournament and they'll win. They can win a couple of games.
Absolutely. Any other, you know, college basketball notes that you want to head on before we close?
Man, that just, I mean, I'm excited, you know, as we're coming down the stretch, you know, coming down the stretch and for different conferences and watching. I got a chance last night to watch Arizona and Oregon. Mm. And, man, Arizona is legit. I mean, Oregon gave them a run for their money, but Arizona, they're definitely legit. They're definitely legit. I mean, Final Four team. They are really long. They got guys that are really long. They play really hard. They can shoot it. I mean, they can get up and down the floor. This kid Benedict, point guard. He can flat out score the basketball. He can defend. I mean, he can do it all. And so I think they'll definitely be a contender. I think that they like I said, they play. I watched them play. And they are really legit.
Absolutely. You know, as a Gonzaga guy, you know, seeing Arizona do, you know, well is very nice because, you know, their head coach is Tommy Lloyd, who was a longtime Mark Few coach. So when I watch him, I literally, you know, I see so many principles that, you know, saw for so many years out of, you know, Gonzaga, you know, the ability to get up and down the court, you know, shoot, you know, within 10 to 15 seconds, but also running that continuity, you know, high, low action, you know, it helps those bigs, you know, engage them, you know, and give them a lot of easy looks. So it's kind of fun to, you know, to see Tommy Lloyd is very loyal to Mark Few for a long time and kind of waited for that right opportunity, you know, so happy to see him get some success here this year. So, you know, we got, like Irwin said, we got about 2 weeks left in the regular season in college basketball. And then, you know, I think one of my, March Madness is great, but one of my favorite times is about that week and a half of nonstop conference tournaments. You know, being a mid-major guy who went to Liberty University, who is, you know, three-time Atlantic Sun champion, hopefully four-time here, I value the mid-majors, you know, to see those, you know, one-bid leagues go after each other, you know, and then we work our way up to, you know, Selection Sunday where the big boys play, you know, where, you know, get multi-bid leagues, but, you know, you still got those teams, you know, is vying for something. You know, that some teams, you know, go into their conference tournament, you know, hoping to stay healthy, you know, don't worry about it. But some, you know, they need it. So it's a big mixture, you know. See, you know, we're interested to see how we line up here, you know, for college basketball. You know, with only 2 weeks left, there's still a lot to be unsettled. If you look at Bubble Watch, there's a lot of teams, you know, grinding away, you know, looking for those last spots. You know, can you give us, Edwin, you know, obviously you were, you know, a prolific college basketball player, you know, in the, you know, early 2000s for Alabama. What is your favorite March Madness story you can give us from Alabama, your time at Alabama?
Oh, boy. Favorite March Madness story, man. I mean, man, I always go back when people ask me, I get that question. I always go back to, you know, the 2002 when we was able to win a title. I think that, you know, we got dad and, you know, Coach Godfrey, he, you know, he started five freshmen, you know, from, you know, when we first touched down in the university. And he basically just gave us the basketball and told us to go out and play and just kind of figure it out. And, you know, we was his first recruiting class, and, you know, we took some lumps upside the head, and but we were able to, you know, to continue to hold our own. And, you know, and so 2002, we won the championship. You know, it was a result of, you know, what we had kind of been through our freshman and sophomore years. You know, I think my sophomore year, we got snubbed from the tournament. You know, our strength of schedule wasn't that good. And so I think that the 2001 season was a result of us, you know, we left out the tournament, but then coming back and winning the title in 2002, I think that was a result of us being able to get the experience playing in the NIT and going to New York and grinding a few more games during the year and understanding how to play with each other more. I think that helped us win the title, come back for the next year and prepare. And we was able to go on the road and we won, you know, we beat Tennessee on the road and beat Kentucky on the road, and you know we won some big game. We beat Georgia on the road, so those things like that, they're right there. Like those, some of the memories. Like a lot of people can't say that they, you know, they've done, and you know, just, you know, being able to being able to share the title with guys like that, and man, it's a surreal moment. And you know, coming up this weekend, me and my teammates, we're celebrating our 20th year anniversary here at Alabama. So a bunch of us will be back, and you know, we'll get a chance to see each other, and we still talk, but just about us being able to come down and go to a game and stuff like that, it's a great thing.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that reunion coming up. If you want to hear more stories from Irwin's days at Alabama, and, you know, some, you know, hope we'll get into the, you know, we'll always like to close the show with hearing some firsthand stories from the hardwood from Irwin here. Irwin, we had a good time tonight talking with some basketball here.
Any closing notes? I enjoyed this, man. Hey, you see this though right here? Hey. You see this right here, just that's what it's about, Alabama. And so, hey, absolutely. You didn't say, you know what? You didn't say anything about us when we came winning there. We beat Gonzaga. You didn't mention that.
You know, you beat both my teams. You beat the Gators. You beat Gonzaga. Yeah. You know, I was hush hush about that. That's for sure. You know, that's our last loss. So we've been cruising since then. But you know, obviously, strength of schedule is a big difference. You know, in conference, yeah, but.
Yeah, that's true.
They came in. I think the game is in Seattle this year. They play the next year. I think they go down to Birmingham to, you know, rematch. So that'll be nice, you know. So it's, I don't know who Gonzaga have left on that roster, but, you know, interesting. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll come back here next week. You know, we'll see how things are shaping up in the NBA after the All-Star break, you know, as we prepare for the second half of the season. And then we'll get 1 week closer to Selection Sunday and kind of recap what we saw this week in college basketball, what we'll see in the coming week. And you know, and then here's some good, you know, good talk here from Irwin, you know, from his days at Alabama and beyond. So enjoyed having all you guys come and participate in the show tonight, and we'll see you soon on Hoops Talk. We'll be right back.